Hey everybody, this is Patty. Welcome to the Witching Hour. I have some beautiful folk magic for you today with the one and only Brandon Weston. But before I bring on Brandon, where's Patty? Yep, once a week I look at my calendar and I go, where am I? If you are tuning into this the week we first dropped, which is the week of Monday, March 25th, 2024, happy full moon, happy lunar eclipse, happy spring. We just hit that days ago. So celebrate whatever you are, wherever you are, because it's probably going to be a little crazy. So make the best of it. Where I am is home. I am home for a couple weeks until Arizona on the weekend of the 12th. Join me in Globe, Arizona, where I'm going to be doing the Old Globe Paracon or something like that. The Globe Paracon, it has several names, but we're in Globe, Arizona, which even people in Arizona don't know where it is. But it's going to be fabulous. I'm going to be doing seance and ghost hunts and lectures and amazing people. So check it out on my website. And then May, you got your tickets for Romania yet? Join me and my bestie, Father Sebastian, on a magical witch and vampire tour of Romania. Along the way, I am also doing Penthurst Paracon. Yep. I have to do lists, big lists of where I am. This is this year so far. So Penthurst Paracon, and then just to get back on my way back, I'm going to stick into Miracles of Joy in my favorite place in the Dallas area, Lewisville, doing a whole witchy weekend. So we've got prison ghosts, we've got witchy ghosts, we've got vampires and witches in Romania. So don't write it all down. Go to my website, pattynegri.com. You can get lists of it on my social media. I am still hacked on Facebook. My pro page is there, but I have no access to it. Luckily, the hackers who do have access have not been posting. I just keep my fingers crossed and until unless I get it back. But it's still me on Instagram and TikTok and Threads and X. And you could always get to my real ones from my website, pattynegri.com, because there are still fakes, even with verification. And in TikTok, there's tons of fakes. So I will never contact you. I will never DM you and say I'm thinking about you and you should have a reading. Never, ever, ever, never. So that's my where I am. I'm here, right here, right now. Tuesday classes, University Magicus. Join me. Very, very affordable classes in mediumship development, psychic development, spell crafting, familiars, past life regression. Wednesdays, which is movie coven, of course. Join Heather and Richard Lael and Jason and Courtney and special guests all the time as we argue and talk about witchy movies from the beginning of time. So that's every Wednesday live at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And bring your boxing gloves, bring something to drink, bring your black goat, and let's go at it. You guys go out there. Spring has sprung. I know the weather isn't hitting everywhere, but it's a new life. This is about bringing back the light. It's a full moon. Get out and celebrate, even if you can't get out. Light a candle, bowl of water that imitates moonlight. For magic, if you can't see the moon, if it's cloudy, if it's raining outside, there's always a way. Anyway, that's where I am, right here. Hey, everybody. Yep. It is time for the Willow Report. Sleepy little girl. She said she wanted to come. First off, I want to thank everybody for the well wishes of Willow. I made a report when she was sick a week or so ago. She was really, really, really sick. And we were sitting there in the emergency room as she was, this is a family show. I'm not going to say the blood that was coming out of her. And it was so scary. And don't ever get your dog sick if you live in Hollywood on Oscar Sunday, because it was a 3 to 4 hour wait at every emergency clinic we could find. I was scared to death. Her life was flashing in front of my eyes, but we found a beautiful new emergency clinic in Koreatown. They took good care of her. She was there till like 10:30, 11 at night. She's been healing all week and she's well on the mend. She missed her birthday. But we're going to have a late party, surprise party. Don't tell her. Once, probably Saturday when she could actually eat some puppy cake again. Don't know what happened. She was bad. She may have got a hold of something poison. She may have gotten something that caused a bacteria, but her red blood count was off. Her protein was off. She was severely dehydrated. We didn't know this little princess was going to make it right as she was about to turn 3, but she did. And because she's a trooper and she's well on the mend, but I cannot thank you enough for your wishes, your prayers, your good vibes. I heard from hundreds and hundreds of you. I was at an event the other day. Well, I've been at an event every day. And the first thing out of people is like, how's Willow? She's doing really great. But thank you. Thank you for your good wishes. And if you have fur babies, in advance, not when you're in panic, have your vet and know of good emergency vets nearby. My vet is beautiful, but they're not there on Sundays and they send you to different emergency vets. But at least where I live, they need more of them. So have a game plan before you're in panic mode, because it would have done us a lot better than the panic we went through. So how are you feeling, Willow? She's looking at the camera. It's a new day. Anyway, that's the Willow Report. She's doing really great. This week's magic is my favorite subject and one of the most powerful spells, magic manifestations you could ever do. It's doing everything by the moon. Happy full moon, by the way. If you are checking this out on the day we first drop, it's a full moon. It's a lunar eclipse. It's a super powerful, super wild. Use, harness, direct that energy to do whatever you want. So let's talk moons a little bit. Remember, we are made out of mostly water, 60, 70% water. Yes, we are. Science says that. The moon runs the tide. Because, you know, everybody always says, oh, the crazy full moon, especially people who work in law enforcement, people who work in hospitals, crazy full moon. We can harness it. So with every full moon, we get outside if you can, or otherwise wherever you are, ask for what you want and be in gratitude for what you have. One day a month, go, okay, thank you. Start out with a gratitude. Thank you. Thank you for my beautiful home. Thank you for my this, my that, and my job, and this and that. And then ask for what you want. Thank you for my 2-bedroom apartment. I really love it. I would really like a 3-bedroom apartment. Thank you for my job. I would like a raise. It's keeping the gratitude and asking for what you want. Every belief system says you're supposed to ask, right? Whether they call it prayer or whether they call it manifestation or affirmations or whether you call it spell working or just wish magic. You have to see, smell, taste in what you want. So a full moon is the time when you have all the power to do it. Who are you asking? That is up to you. You're asking God. You're asking the moon itself. You're asking your higher self, whatever deities, gods, energies, aliens, angels you work with. But you got to ask and you got to be in gratitude. And then the next 2 weeks, while the moon is waning, getting smaller, waning, it's written on your cell phone. There's every moon app. It's written on every paper calendar ever made. When a moon, and you can see it out the window sometimes. When the moon is waning, every day when you get up, go, moon is waning. I'm going to let go of something that's not serving me. I'm going to not be so hard on myself. I'm not going to worry so much. That's when I always start a diet. That's the perfect time to quit smoking. That's the perfect time to just release. That almost 2 weeks of the waning moon. Set your intention first thing in the morning, live into it. Amazing. Then we get down to the new moon, the dark moon. That's the time to go inside. Whether you do a big old meditation or just 30 seconds of what do I want now? Not what did I want last month? Not what does the world want for me? What do I feel? What do I want? And then the next 2 weeks, while the moon is waxing or getting bigger, that's when you add into your life. The morning, the moon's waxing. I'm going to eat more vegetables. The moon's waxing. I'm going to ask for a raise. The moon is waxing. I'm going to take longer walks in the park. Whatever it is, add as the moon gets bigger. It's so simple. And you are literally tapping into that 60, 70% water of your tides. No matter where you start in this cycle, within weeks of doing it, you will notice that the good stuff in your life gets better, faster, with the ease and grace and flow of the moon. The not bad stuff, but the stuff that's no longer serving you starts flowing away with that same grace and ease of the moon. It's free. It takes seconds a day. You live into it. The moon, we've all got the same one. Wherever we are on the planet, we have that same beautiful moon. Harness the power. Look up. Go outside whenever you can and just look up. Pull down the energy of the moon. It's actually called drawing down the moon. And please learn to follow your tides, your cycles. It moves the whole ocean. It moves us too. Moon magic. It's everywhere. We have some folk magic for you today. We have the one and only healer, writer, and folklorist, Brandon Weston. May look a little familiar. Had him on a couple of years ago, but it's been a few. So welcome back, Brandon.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here.
It is so good to have you on. I love your work. I love folk magic. It's not my specialty by any means, but it's so much romantic and so much just the simplicity of the beauty of it just amazes me. And I just got your new book. So you have a new book coming out, right?
Yeah, it came out in January, Granny Thornapple's Book of Charms. And so it is out right now. Yeah, very excited.
Oh, great. So what exactly is a charm for those who don't know?
So in the context of Ozark folk magic, a charm can be a physical object. So it can be like an amulet. So that's kind of in the colloquial charm. But with Granny Thornapple, what we're talking about specifically are verbal charms. And so these are poems, songs, little memorized verses, Mother Goose rhymes, as I talk about in the book. A lot of like little verses and things that people would memorize and carry with them that were used for a magical effect. So used for healing, used for personal protection, things like that. So a charm in this case refers to specifically verbal charms, which has been a pretty big part of Ozark folk magic since the beginning, really.
That is beautiful. Well, in my philosophy, the spoken word is so important because there's magic in sound. Your breath is connected to it versus sticking it in here. That breath, your life force, your pneuma, your free will that goes along with it. So I think I love that. Plus, again, isn't there magic just to the cadence and the rhyming and all of that put together?
Right. And in sort of amongst Ozark healers and folk practitioners, the idea that of memorization was really important. You know, a lot of these practices were developed when people were illiterate, when people, you know, had to memorize things. And I think today, you know, and I address this in the book, we kind of live in a very different culture where, you know, we don't have to memorize these things. You know, we can keep them on our phones, things like that. But I think, you know, connecting to this idea of the memory as a source of magic, as sort of a spell book in and of itself, is a sort of important part of the folk practice.
I get it. So were you born into this, or is this something, how did your path come about?
So I am a multi-generational Ozarker. So all my family has been from around here. And I sort of grew up with a lot of stories and folk remedies and things like that. But I, you know, this is a pretty common story amongst Ozarkers is, you know, you never know what you're doing is different until you encounter somebody not from the Ozarks. And so when I got into college, I started studying folklore. And one of the things that we studied was Vance Randolph, who is a pretty famous Ozark folklorist from the 30s and 40s. And, you know, everything he was writing about was stuff that I had encountered with my own family. And so it was that light bulb moment of, oh, there's something here and maybe I should look more into this. So I kind of went out from there and I did learn a lot of stuff from family members, but most of, you know, what I've collected has come from the community at large. So the Ozarks, both Arkansas Ozarks and Missouri Ozarks.
Beautiful. So again, coming up, this has all been done for hundreds and hundreds of years. How does it work for you to bring this, like your book, again, is delightful. Everybody, you have to check it out because it's got the charms. It's got different subjects you want, ingredients, rituals to go with it, charts and graphs along the way from everything from days of the week to the sign, your astrological sign. So how does it say working with this? Say I'm a city girl. I am a city girl, but I get it. But for anybody listening, I'm in the suburbs, I'm in the city. How can they go, well, how is Ozark Mountain Charms going to work for me? How in our modern 2024 world, how does it enhance, change, help your life?
Right. So, you know, this book sort of differs from the other books in that, you know, I tell people that the spell book that I wrote, the Ozark Mountain spell book, it's a lot of the rituals and the ingredients, but Granny Thorn Apples is really about what do you do when you don't have all your stuff with you? Or what do you do when you don't have access to all of this stuff? So one example I like to give is, you know, you're in the grocery store and you see your enemy across the aisle from you. Well, what do you do in that moment to protect yourself or to, you know, make yourself, you know, make them not see you, things like that. And so the Ozark verbal charm tradition, the charming tradition really has this to offer us. It is reactionary magic. These are lines and verses and charms that can be memorized very easily. A lot of them people already know because, you know, in the Ozarks, we use nursery rhymes a lot as a part of the charms. And so, and there's also this big tradition of, you know, how we can birth these charms in the moment. And so this idea of connecting to inborn intuition and inborn magic as a part of that process. And so really, Granny Thornapple is, you know, for everyone. She is a teacher that is great for people out in the country or in the city, because the magic that she brings is really magic that uses the stuff of life itself as a part of the process. So it uses whatever you can grab at hand or whatever you have on you, or if you don't have anything at all, it can use your breath. It can use your words and the things that sort of the poems that randomly come up inside of us. So yeah, she definitely has a lot to teach, not just Ozarkers, but, you know, magical practitioners and healers and everyone alike.
Okay, so that was a really good tease, because everybody's going to go, what if I'm running into my enemy in the grocery store? Or you have to give somebody a little way how to do it. It's a teaser on your book. So what would you do? You run into, my arch enemy is at the grocery store in the produce. I got to go to produce. What do I do?
Right. So I think an Ozark solution to this is, first of all, you know, you never meet people's eye, you know, if you don't want to. If you don't want to possibly receive something from that person. And so, you know, this has happened to me before in the grocery store, you know, encountering somebody that I don't really like to interact with. And so, first of all, you don't meet their gaze. And then I always like to say just like a little protective charm. Usually what I say is, you know, a wall before me, a wall behind me, a wall at my right, a wall at my left. And as I'm saying that, I really visualize these sort of like walls that come up around me. And for me, that, you know, 9 times out of 10, a very simple visualization, very simple charm, but it does wonders. And, you know, the last time this happened to me, the person didn't even notice me. They just, you know, went along their way. And so that's the best case scenario, really, is that the person doesn't notice you.
Okay, so that's very similar to what I do. Different walls. I have a big old mirror egg around me, but you can just get right. But it's like you can make yourself invisible. I love that. So if people out there going, who is Granny Thornapple, or what is Granny Thornapple? Is it a real person? Is it?
So Granny Thornapple is a character that I created, but she is based on real people. So she is sort of an amalgam character of both my own teachers and people that I've worked with, similar granny women, as we call them, these, you know, folk healers and folk practitioners. But then she also incorporates in the granny women and the magicians of folklore, too. So Vance Randolph collected a lot of these stories about famous granny women like Graham French, Graham Watson. There's a whole lot of other ones. And so she takes all of those characters into her as well. But she herself is a created character. And in the book, every chapter is introduced by a story from her life, from birth to death. And so you really get to follow her on her journey from birth with her own granny, who is there to identify the gift within her when she was born. And you follow her all the way until death, and then even a little bit after that. And so she's a character that I created a few years back as I was kind of going on my Ozark adventures, because I really wanted to create a character that would tell the stories that haven't been able to be told. And, you know, if you look at Ozark history, the stories that have been neglected here have been from healers, have been specifically from women healers. And so I really wanted to create a character that would honor the memories of the people that I knew and people from my own family, as well as be able to tell some of these stories that haven't been voiced.
So I did notice in your book, you did say that traditionally it was primarily women who were the powerful ones in the healers and things. Is that still true today? Or here you are, this, you know, prolific writer of such things?
Yeah, so I think today it is that, you know, the healers that I've worked with have been majority women. And, you know, in the past, in the Ozarks, you know, being kind of a very strict, conservative culture, there was a real taboo against men working on women's issues. And so that, and I mean, you even saw this with, you know, the first country doctors that came through. They were very limited in their knowledge of, you know, female issues. And so what you had in the culture was, you know, the need for somebody to come and help the women of the community. And usually that would be an older woman in the community. Oftentimes she had kids of her own, grandkids of her own. So she knew the birthing process. So she would be a midwife. But apart from that, she would collect herbal remedies and all of these other things. She would know how to cook these things up because she would be familiar with that, the cooking processes. So granny women started off as predominantly addressing the women in the community, but then granny women really turned into the central healers for the community because, you know, then men started going to them. And unlike the men, the male healers in the community, granny women would heal everyone. So they had no issues working on men, women, children, anybody that came through. And so they really became the central healers of the community. And that is a tradition that really has stayed today. It seems like I have met fewer and fewer open male healers. I have met healers like that, but by and large, it's the women that are still doing healing in the communities.
So is it common practice if you're somewhere in the Ozarks that communities, cities, towns, whatever you want to call them, there are these are the healers, whether men or women? Is that common practice still?
I wouldn't say it's common, and it's becoming less common, unfortunately. What you see in the Ozarks is that, you know, there are fewer and fewer people that have been interested in these practices. And so healers really haven't been able to pass things along. A lot of the healers that I worked with were so excited that I was interested. And so they were able to give me a lot of stuff. But in the past, you know, you would have people in your family that you would identify as having the gift. And you would just, when you were wanted to retire, you would just give them everything. You would just pass them all of your knowledge. But that doesn't really happen much anymore. You know, people's children and grandchildren really aren't interested. I will say that, you know, the past 10 years or so, there's been this folk revival in the Ozarks. And so, you know, like my work is, I consider that to be a part of this sort of folk revival for now. And so there are people now that are getting interested in going back. But this happened with my own family. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of times we've waited too long and we don't have those knowledge keepers around anymore. And so what I am seeing is that the spirit of Ozark folk magic and folk healing is still alive, but it is taking different forms. So people are, instead of learning from, you know, actual healers and things, they may be learning from people like me on these online classes and things like that. And I don't think that that lessens the practice in any way. I think that folk magic has always been an evolution. It's always been a change. And so I think that this is just the next step. You know, and so that's kind of where I see my work is being able to provide that for people that now are interested and want to learn.
Right. And with the upswing in they go, well, I'm using the word witchcraft, but I know you don't use the word witchcraft within this. But so it's great. You're bringing it to the city people who want to know, who want to learn. So yes, that books, stories, classes, online classes. And I do see in your book, you talk about the year, kind of what we would call the wheel of the year and going through the holy year. And again, rituals and charms for each. But you don't. I don't know. You said it's a conservative. I don't know if it's a religious thing. You don't use the word witch or witchcraft that I can see. You use the word charm. You don't, when you're at Easter, you use the word Easter versus Ostara or the vernal equinox. You use the word Halloween versus Samhain. Is that just how it is and how it's always been? So it's not magic. It's just folk magic.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely ties in with the culture. You know, a lot of the practitioners that I work with still and have, you know, a lot of my teachers, I wouldn't have considered them very like religiously conservative or anything. But in still in Ozark folk culture, you know, words have power. And so, you know, I had to learn what I could talk about and what I couldn't talk about. And so even in my books, you know, I use folk magic. I use those things. But, you know, amongst the older generation, I would avoid saying magic. I would avoid saying witchcraft, things like that, because these words have a certain weight to them as a part of that culture. I will say that, you know, all of this stuff is sort of changing. The younger generations, you know, I've met so many Ozark witches who are very proud witches and are known as witches in their communities. And so I think that that image is changing. But, you know, as with a lot of different things, you know, you kind of have to be patient for things to sort of change. But yeah, and I tell people that, you know, a lot of the charms that we inherit, we can rework these charms. So charms that are specifically against witches, you know, things like that. Well, what is the aim of this charm? It's not to target a specific person, it's to target a type of magic. It's to target harm that might be done by this magic. And so we can rework these things, we can evolve these things to be more applicable and more widely available and used for a wider audience today. So I still avoid some of that language just because by and large, the people that I work with have a very specific cultural framework. I also enjoy reviving some of the old ways of talking about these things too. And so Granny Thornapple could be considered a witch, but in Ozark folk culture, she was a granny woman. And so I really like reviving that, the old ways of talking about these things too.
Oh, I love it. And again, you're going to get a whole new audience, if that's the word right, of people who wouldn't talk to a witch, but they'll talk to a granny, you know, or they'll listen to a granny, or they'll perform a charm versus spell casting. I love it. It goes with hand in hand that the sweetness or the romance that I see in your work and what the Ozark Mountain stuff is. It's beautiful. So in your practice, I know you teach, which is great. So I want to hear some about that. But you also do a lot of clearings and healings. How does that work? Do people come out and say, come to my house, Brandon, what do we have to do? Are you noticing in our crazy modern 2024 world that more magic, whatever you want to call it, is needed?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the work that I do, it's been so interesting seeing just like the full spectrum of what people require. And so, you know, I do house calls. So I have a lot of people that will call me or email me frantically saying, hey, could you come over? I think that there's something in my house, things like that. So I definitely have those. But during the pandemic, I had to do more things virtually, which was not, I had never done that before. Like, you know, I'm a person that really likes being around people when I'm working with them. And so that it sort of forced me into thinking about my practice in a little bit different way. So I started doing things through Zoom and through, you know, conferencing programs, things like that. I started doing things over the phone more. And it really, added to my practice more than anything. Because now I love doing the in-person stuff and still do that. But I'm also available for other methods as well, which I think is really important. And it's actually not a modern way of working. You know, healers have always done that. I met a healer who the way that she would heal, she would have people write her letters saying what they needed. And she would use those letters as a part of the healing work because it had their handwriting. And she considered that to be a part of them. And so that was her unique way of working, but she never actually saw most of her clients. And I've known people that only did work over the phone, things like that. So I kind of was able to sort of connect to, I guess, the creativity of the practice, you know, thinking about how we're going to work these things, you know, not being able to be around people. But yeah, the work that I do is, you know, the full spectrum of things. I do house blessings. I do, you know, cleansings, personal cleansings. I do space cleansings. You know, what I started telling people, because I was thinking about how to describe my work, and the only thing that I could come up with was magical consultations. And that's really what I do. You know, I sit down with somebody, they tell me what's wrong, and then together we develop a process. We I might bring in some divination as a part of it. I might bring in some Ozark stuff. I might bring in some stuff from them, whatever, you know, they are comfortable with. And so really that's kind of where I am, you know, this idea of the, you know, come to me with a problem and together we'll figure it out.
I love it. I love magical consultations. That's a great terminology for it. Now, when you're doing your clearings and cleansings, like I'm very elemental in my work. I work air and fire and water and earth. I kind of even stay away from too much going into gods and deities and things. We're working with regular people. Do you work come from Ozark? Do you come working with nature or elemental or?
Oh yeah, 100%. So Ozark folk magic is very connected to the land. It's very connected to the elements, the old astrological cycles, the moon cycles, things like that. And so from an Ozark perspective, any illness, and that's physical illness or magical illness, spiritual illnesses, there's not a distinction made between those. And it's all caused by an imbalance of the houses within the body. And so, you know, if people out there who have seen farmers' almanacs or almanacs today, you know, you still have that little person with all of the zodiac signs corresponding to the different parts of the body. That is very tied close with Ozark folk magic. This idea that, you know, you find where the illness or the curse or whatever it might be is rooted within the body. And then using correspondences, we can oppose those forces. And so, you know, if somebody comes to me and they feel like they have a curse on them or they feel like something's been put on them, and we find out it's in, you know, Aries, the Aries house in the head, we would counter that elementally with water, or we would counter it, you know, during certain phases of the moon, things like that. So Ozark folk magic is very connected to these processes. The idea being is that healing is really bringing all of these things back to equilibrium. So bringing everything in the body back to balance. And to do that, we have to bring in those elements. We have to introduce those things. So yeah,
and that's how I am. I think the whole, almost everything, then whatever you think, it's a curse, an illness, physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever, it is about balance. I think, again, because we're a little off balance right now, humanity as a whole. So are you finding, again, more and more need for what you do and bringing in that balance, whether they think it's a curse or it is a curse?
Yeah, I do. So the folk healing process is sort of been an interesting evolution. I'm finding today more and more people come to me looking for help to pair with the medical treatment that they're already receiving. And so I get very few people coming to me for physical illnesses, whereas, you know, my, you know, grandparents' generation, it would have been more physical and less of the spiritual mental stuff. And so I see today the people that come to me are really looking for help to engage with the healing process that they're already in, or help with sort of bringing things back to balance in their life to support their healing. And so I think that's where, you know, folk magic in general can really offer something is to be able to help people ritually engage with their healing process, however it might look. So yeah, I think there's definitely more of a need today. It's just, you know, the needs are perhaps a little bit different than our ancestors would have had to deal with. You
know? Right. Like if you have a wart now, you go to the doctor and you get it burned off, or you do whatever. It's not just, so I love you have that in your book as well. So classic. All right. Well, so tell people about what other books that you have as well. This, your new book, show it. Do you have a copy?
I do. So Granny Thornapple's Book of Charms, and it is out right now. And then I have two other books. The first book is Ozark Folk Magic, Plants, Prayers, and Healing. And it's, so the first two books are really companions with each other. So Ozark Folk Magic goes into a lot of the history, history of the area, history of the practices. It's a really good foundational book if you are wanting to sort of dive headfirst into the Ozarks. It's a really good guide for that. And then the companion book is the Ozark Mountain Spell Book. And so it is a practice guide. It has rituals. It has all of the ingredients and charms and, you know, spells and all of that stuff that you might need to perform this stuff. And it has a good introduction in it that sort of touches on things from the first book, but it is really, the intention is as a practice guide.
Yeah. And it's again, really beautiful. So if anybody out there is just like starting on a path and they don't know what their path is, you won't be intimidated by this book. It's doable. It's, you know, it's for everybody.
Yeah. And that's, that was one of my intentions writing was, you know, this is, I really want Ozarkers to get introduced to this stuff and into this stuff. But this is also, I say it's a human inheritance. It's not necessarily a cultural inheritance. And so this magic is for everyone. And I think no matter if you're a beginner or an advanced practitioner, there's a lot of stuff that you can pick up and incorporate into your own work.
Yeah, I do. I have, and I will with this new one going, whatever I've been practicing for decades. Like, no, add this. It's beautiful. Again, from the heart. It's all very from the heart, which I just love. So, and tell us about anything else you have going on or you're teaching or.
So I have a website, ozarkhealing.com. And I recently, at the end of last year, I opened up my archive of class recordings all the way back to 2020 when I started doing virtual classes. And so all of those recordings are available on the website and they're all for free. So I decided that I wanted to be able to offer this to people and not have anything standing in people's way. So there's a really good introductory class that I did that I recommend to anybody that sort of wants to get a taste of Ozark folk magic. And then there are deeper subjects beyond that. Everything from using the farmer's almanac to Ozark plants to ghosts and fairies and all sorts of cool stuff. And so I'm planning right now, I'm coming out of winter hibernation currently into springtime. And so I'm feeling like I'm going to definitely do another class, virtual class series. And yeah, the subject is to be determined, but I do want to teach about the sort of foundations of the practice, the non-physical foundations, you know, what sort of mindset we have as part of the folk magic process. Definitely look for those on the website and any events that I do, I post on there as well.
Okay. So what is your website?
Ozarkhealing.com.
Ozark, you guys check it out. And all is off, he's offering for free. So that is a sweet and amazing and beautiful. So thank you for coming on. We'll have you on before the next 3 or 4 years. Again, this time you guys check out the book. It is beautiful. The other books are beautiful. Go charm yourself. Go charm in magic. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.